New Thought Media Network. We are a global broadcast network of positive music, media, and entertainment. Inspiring humanity's evolution along the journey of enlightenment and creating a world of love, peace, empowerment, and prosperity for all. New Thought Media Network. Positively inspiring.
Welcome to Ministers Talking Sh**, a weekly program where Rev Briz and Rev Z and their guests chat about current affairs, world events, spiritual principles, and any old sh** they want to talk about. Based on the New Thought philosophy and ancient wisdoms, Ministers Talking Sh** shares a visionary perspective of the evolving spiral called spiritual living. Join us each week as we explore the emerging paradigm of life on planet Earth and beyond.
And hello again, dear ones. Rev Briz with you over here.
Rev Z right here.
And this is Ministers Talking Shit for Friday, April 5th, 2024. Oh my God, we're in the second quarter. Here we go, folks. Things are heating up. So good morning, Z. How you doing, brother?
Oh, it's all good. All good. Talking about second quarters. You couldn't have said that better, but as we step into March Madness final 4 week for both men and women, and it promises to be some heavy stuff. You know, I don't know if it's the first time this has ever happened or not, but North Carolina State has a entry in both men's and women's final four, and so does UConn on the men's side.
Wow.
So both men's and women's side.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yes, so yes.
Technically, we could have a sweep by either NC State or UConn if
this is correct.
If all the stars align.
Yeah, well, the sun will be aligning on Monday, so maybe that might help them.
I was going to say, yeah.
Exactly. They get total darkness and they can't see. They just start shooting.
How did we let March Madness slip over into April, though? I'm not sure on this one.
Yes, it's March Madness, April craziness, I guess. I don't know. But on the men's side, they got number 11, North Carolina, facing number 1, Purdue. Okay. And then you have number 4, Alabama, facing number 1, UConn, out of the two different regions. Then on the women's side, you have number 3, North Carolina State, versus number 1, South Carolina. That's going to be state rivalry right there. And then you have number 3, UConn, versus number 1, Iowa, with Caitlin Clark. And so this promises to be some heavy basketball starting tonight.
I got to believe, based on the performance so far, the money is on Caitlin Clark. And Iowa, so than it might be on North Carolina. So,
South Carolina is the reigning champ. They're trying to do a repeat. I'm sure everybody's in some ways looking for the two number one seeds on both sides. Number one, Iowa, and number 1, South Carolina on the women's, and number 1, UConn, number 1, Purdue on the men. So we'll see what the stars hold.
All right. I know that, I can say that Caitlin Clark not only is making an impression on sports, but seems like every news station on the planet is super excited that we're talking about women's basketball for a change.
Yeah. Yeah. They really are, because the pay is so, there's such a pay disparity. Right. Ice Cube has this three-on-three league that he has. And he offered Caitlin $5 million to play. I don't know if she took it or not, but what they said was Given the current salaries, it would take her 10 years to make what Ice Cube would pay her for his league in one season.
And that is if she was the highest paid player and stayed healthy and didn't get injured. And I'm sure there's a lot of stipulations on that. So, all right. So there it is, folks. You know, we get into controversy whether we like it or not. I think we're calling the calling out the WNBA to get on board with some pay equity for the ladies.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you know, of course, well, really, I think it's the whole thing about people don't watch women's sports and, you know, the revenues and Caitlin Clark has sold out everything she's gone through this year. I think now they said the cheapest ticket for this weekend was like $700.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
If only the players saw some of that. Because
people
making money off of that are the original ticket holders and the ticket brokers.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that was part of the reason why the NIL name and likeness thing came in, that these kids are making money off now, because they were saying, you know, these colleges and universities were selling these jerseys and, you know, all of this, making millions, and these kids, you know, some of them never even graduated, you know. Right. So, you know, people have their qualms about it, but I'm like, you know, they've been using these kids for a long time for that respect.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, here's an interesting story we saw. What do we call it? Ocean's 14 now, I guess, is what they're up to in that franchise. Over the Easter weekend. So, I mean, this has all of the aspects of a great thriller movie. A group of daring thieves stole over $30 million from a building in an industrial park in L.A. It was a money exchange location. Why there was 30 mil, and I don't know, is 30 million a lot for this company to have in their vault or not? But there's pictures of a hole in the side of the building, and somehow the thieves got around a couple of different alarms. Supposedly there was a seismic alarm on the safe, on the vault. But sometime Easter Sunday, bandits went in and stole $30 million in cash. They say that workers discovered the theft about 4 o'clock Monday morning when they arrived for the work week. And, you know, it's that classic scene. You open the vault and it's empty. So, if you see anybody throwing around big wads of money in LA, it might be, unless it's P. Diddy,
they're talking about this. I would have been suspicious when I saw the big hole in the wall. Forget about the safe. I'm like, what the heck?
You are so
oh my
right.
God.
So, it's interesting. In the article I read, we didn't catch this one. There was a $110 million jewelry heist last year in LA. Now, obviously, they have no reason to suspect these are connected yet, or any evidence that they're connected as of yet. But it's there's got to be a, I don't know, I guess I'd be looking for a whole group of gentlemen that left the country sometime Monday morning for island locations, because
the thing is, here's the trick with that. How do you move 30? I mean, if it's 30 million in bills, how do you, you know, you can't run that through a sensor. You got to get a private plane or something.
That's true.
You can't just fly out of the country with 30 million, even if you got, you know, 10 people and you split it up 3 million apiece.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a lot of cash to try to walk away with.
Yes. So, Hey, you never know. They might be doing the Walter White thing and burying it out in the desert. Put it in a barrel and bury it out in the desert somewhere.
It will be interesting to see this unfold for sure.
Unfortunately, we'll probably never hear the result. Yeah.
No.
That's one of those things. You always hear the story. You never hear what happened. It could be years. Could be years before they.
Yeah.
That jewelry heist last year, they still have no suspects and no idea where the jewels went or any idea of who did it.
Here's the thing on the jewelry heist, right? They have so much information on the size and the cut and all of that. You know, it's like, okay, you stole the jewelry. You can't sell it unless you start taking it and cutting it down and changing it, right? Which is going to start messing with the value. Yeah. It's like, I mean, I understand how somebody might do it thinking they're going to get this big payday, but this, you know, I don't know.
Somebody
maybe
walks
they did
up
it just to see if they.
Somebody walks up on the street and says, "You want to buy some diamonds cheap?" Say no.
Yeah. I was going to say maybe they did it just to see if they could get away with it, but I don't know. I mean, that's a lot to get away with if you can't use them diamonds. Or $30 million in cash.
Well, I got to believe there's got to be a pretty hefty investment in a theft like this.
Mm-hmm.
Equipment to cut a wall, equipment to bypass security, equipment to get into the vault. And it's not a one-man job. It's not a small team.
And they're skilled, skilled labor doesn't come cheap, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Not when there's 30 million on the line. So, but hey, you know, you figure it's got to be at least a 5-6 man team. So when it comes down to it, after taxes and stuff, they're lucky if they're walking with a mill each. I don't know if it's worth it.
Well, then Uncle Sam won't be taking no taxes on that.
Hey, folks, we do want to share a couple of words of best wishes, too. If you're in Maine or New Hampshire, chances are you're not seeing this broadcast because most likely you don't have power. A powerful nor'easter storm ripped into New England this weekend, and there's a Great Lakes storm heading that way. It's going to hit in another day or so. So our thoughts and prayers and our hearts and if I was in the area, my shovel would be there with the folks of New Hampshire and Maine, parts of Vermont. We've received more snow in the last 3 days than they have over the past year. Big springtime storm hitting New England. So anyone out there, please know we're with you in prayers on getting undug, getting dug out. A lot of digging out going on this week.
Yeah, they say it, and I don't know if they've done any restoring, but at one point the count was like 400,000 homes and businesses were without power.
The usual,
don't go outside, stay home, because this is pretty treacherous weather. So hopefully people heeded that warning and tried to stay warm best they could and not cause any fires or all those different kinds of things that happen when they get this. You know, I think they said Vermont got something like 24 inches in a couple of days, and Maine got 21 inches or 24 inches. So we just had that experience here in Colorado a few weeks back. So we truly can empathize. We know what it's like.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
One thing we can't empathize with, though, but we will sympathize, is with Taiwan. Taiwan got hit by a massive earthquake earlier this week. That's going to take a lot longer to dig out from than just 20 inches of snow. And our hearts are with the people of Taiwan as well. And, you know, it's interesting because almost immediately the fake AI video started hitting. There's a video that claims to show an entire block of unfinished housing collapsing in Taiwan. It's a total fake, but it's making the rounds on social media. So we've, you got to be careful, folks. I know it's tough, but you got to fact check pretty much anything that you see on the internet these days. I found myself yesterday digging into some of the depths of AI video, and wow, it's almost at the consumer level now. There's a site I found that'll, it put in a prompt and give it a few minutes, and it brings you back 2 seconds of video that is incredibly realistic. Crazy stuff happening in the world, and we don't want to make it any worse. That's the whole thing about New Thought to me, is we're not here to make anything worse. We're not here to, we're here to put the good in what's going on in the world, to try to find the way that it's the events of, it's, you can't explain a natural disaster like an earthquake. But we can absolutely condemn people that are adding on to the suffering by creating false narratives and creating false evidence. Here we go. Now we really do have false evidence appearing real at this point.
Yeah. there is such angst about AI, right? Because we know it has the potential for greatness on both sides of the fence, so to speak. And that is the scariest thing in the world to me. Because, we look at AI, you said it just went and made a video. Now, for those who are Matrix fans, there's a fifth Matrix movie in the works. And they say it's not going to, and it's not a simulation. They know who's going to write it. They don't, and direct it. They don't know who's going to be the stars yet. But imagine, at some point, if these AI movie things, they're not going to, how much money will they save to go in and say, this is, type the script in the movie, in the AI, and it just does all the stuff? It's scary to me. Scary.
I think you're absolutely right. I saw something recently. It was like, oh, don't worry, it might take your job, but there'll be new jobs. It's like, you're talking out your ass, man. You don't know that. There might not be another job for a screenwriter who has spent their entire life learning how to be a really good screenwriter and takes real great pride in their work. It's not easy to just, I'll just go get another job, because AI took the livelihood of what I've been doing. It's a double edge too. It's a both end. It does make life easier. It can make life a bit more productive and quicker in certain ways. However, I have found it's very incomplete too. At least the language models I've been using, you ask it to do something and kind of like a 15-year-old, it gives you something. It doesn't necessarily give you the truth. It just gives you something.
The thing is, all of these AI models work on the data that is collected, right? And so the AI model or the AI generated piece is only going to be as truthful and as realistic as the data model that is using. Now, the challenge will be, if you can't cordon off your data set, AI will go out and find data sets everywhere, break through all the encryptions, break through all of the, and now you know, you do get this sense of it being unstoppable, because it's going to have it won't have any more access to data than we have. If it's stored on a computer, it's just going to be able to get to it and synthesize it and regurgitate it in such a rate that we can't even comprehend.
Yeah. Yep. Again, we are going to have to, we're going to have to keep playing this one. We're going to have to keep watching this one. Mm-hmm. And when given the opportunity, folks, let's remember, AI isn't a way to skirt the system. It isn't a way to get our work done, you know, to deliver when we're behind. It can be used as a great tool to inform and support and jumpstart our work, but we can't let it replace what we do. And we can't let it replace the power of human thought, of human reasoning. Mm-hmm. We're going to come back to the Matrix, and I'm a big Matrix fan, so I hadn't heard there was going to be number 5. I'm going to look forward to it. And
yes,
heck, you and I saw number 4 together in the theaters when it was released. It because mm-hmm. I love the storyline, and it fits in so well with what we talk about in New Thought. But we can't let. I can't believe the machine learning will ever truly outpace. That's tough to say, but I want to believe that human logic and human consciousness will remain supreme on this planet. Machine learning or machine logic, I don't think it can truly replace human logic and human consciousness. So
I agree. But here's what's going to happen, or one thing that's possible. I just think about, and this is a very simple thing. I think about all of the phone numbers I used to remember by heart. My grandparents, my best friends, my girlfriends, my job. You know, I knew you asked me those numbers, I could just rattle them off.
Yep.
Now, I can't even remember hardly my phone number on my own cell phone, right? Now, imagine what we're going to lose potentially when AI comes in and we start, not that it's bad, but we're just going to rely on it more. Now, potentially different brain cells and usages of our mind will shift, but right. We don't know where it's going to shift, right? We don't know what it's going to shift into. So it's interesting. And talking about a matrix, that will create the matrix of all matrix, trying to navigate what's real, what's not, what's AI, what's not. You know, I you mentioned fact check. I listened to a NPR story the other day, and at the end of the story, they went through this whole, you know, this who produced it, these were my fact checkers, these were my research. I mean, I'd never heard a news story end up listing fact checkers for the story. That was brand new to me.
Wow. Yeah, that is. All right. Here we go, folks. It's a brave new world. And and we're living it already.
Yeah. Yes.
So, speaking of a brave new world.
Uh-oh.
We've been, you know, folks, I think Z and I have been dancing around this topic for months, trying to figure out how to talk about what's going on in Gaza and Israel. Because if you wade into these waters, if you step into this conversation, man, any little criticism of Israel and somebody's going to label you an anti-Semite. And somebody's going to come down on you. And, you know, so the bombing of the aid convoy this week is way beyond what should ever be allowed to happen. And in today's, you know, Israel claims that 2 officers have been fired and 2 more have been put on administrative leave because they mistakenly identified one of these aid workers carrying a bag of some sort as a gunman. And so therefore they took out an entire convoy of people that were delivering humanitarian aid and food. This just seems impossible in today's age of intelligence, and you're using U.S. weapons. I gotta believe you've got U.S. drone technology, which means you can see the pimple on a flea's ass from outer space with the level of spy technology that we have. They show it on the news all the time. You can count how many people and where they are and everything else. This just seems like a, and now let's couple this with, well, from that, I am completely outraged. Now, it would appear President Biden is outraged as well and has made a phone call to Netanyahu and threatened that, you know, stop this or else. The or else is rather vague, although it would imply that it includes financial aid as well as equipment, military equipment, that we're going to stop giving aid and military equipment if they don't clean up their act. I'm not sure when it happened, but somehow it seems like, especially Netanyahu, I don't want to blame this on all the Israeli people, but Netanyahu is rapidly becoming a supervillain in my mind. He does whatever the hell he wants. He bombs whoever the hell he wants. He bombs Syria. And when Iran gets upset, he whines and cries that this is going to get worse because we bomb Syria. Well, at a certain point, how do we rein this guy in? How do we get the people of Israel to get rid of this guy? Because I don't know. In my opinion, he's sitting hand in hand, and some are going to scream at me for this. He seems to be sitting hand in hand with Putin in the level of blatant disregard for human life and blatant disregard for diplomacy. It feels like it's just bomb everybody and oops, sorry, we made a mistake. Well, that sorry doesn't cut it to the seven people that lost their lives in a completely avoidable situation. There's no reason those bombs ever should have been let loose on those people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and, you know, and when I first heard it about the bombing, I was a little bit afraid because I have the son of one of my best friends and mentors works with that organization. And he travels around. He's a chef, and he travels around to these different places. And I didn't know if he was over there, and I know he was down in Haiti and when he had the last one, not Haiti, in Puerto Rico, or when he had the last time they had a big event, he was there. But I was thinking, man, I hope he wasn't on this trip. And so it at some point, you know, human diplomacy has to kick in. Okay. I mean, of course, on any story, right, you can make a case for both sides, right? You can always find something to say, well, yeah, I can see this, yeah, I can see that. But at some point, what you can't see or what you can't not see is the death of children and women and men who are innocent, who are not a part of Hamas, who may not have even voted to put Hamas in office.
Right.
And I get it. It's a war zone. Yada. I mean, okay, you can give, but there has to be a way at some point when you've done some serious devastation. I mean, you look at the infrastructure of that place now. It is, I don't know what they could do. I mean, all the buildings are bombed, the hospitals are bombed, the infrastructure is bombed, the water supply is shot. You know, at some point, human decency, you would hope and you would think, would come in and say, okay, we need to get to a negotiation table of some sort. Now, they tried that, and I guess, you know, they didn't come to something because they were supposed to be negotiating the ceasefire. Right. You know, and that started over, I mean, that's been a month ago that started almost. Because it started before Ramadan, right? They were trying to have the ceasefire for Ramadan, and Ramadan will be ending in about 5 or 6 days. Yep.
And then it was Easter, and let's have a ceasefire for Easter, and just days after Easter, yeah, we mistakenly bought it.
Yeah, yeah. So it, I mean, you know, we've come to a fork in the road where I believe we as humans have to begin to not just say we value life, but really value life and begin to figure out what needs to be done to reduce some of the hostility, to turn some of this heat down on these juxtapositions about philosophies and religions and ideologies that are causing people who could care less about any of those arguments to die.
Right. Perhaps this is the catalyst that gets us somewhere. Yeah. Supposedly, again, our President Joe Biden is incredibly upset by all of this and had a very stern conversation with Netanyahu yesterday. And I'm trying to find the article that I looked at. That Netanyahu has made a statement of some sort, kind of in a little bit of a contrition around this, but it really, I don't know. If you ask me, they've won. If they haven't proven their point at this moment, what more does Israel need to do? They're bombing their neighbors. They're overthrowing. They're overthrowing Gaza. They've destroyed Gaza at this point, right? There is almost everything I see. There is almost nothing left. Are they on path to enact a genocide?
And here's the real thing.
Ever be happy, I guess.
Yeah. And the challenge is, now that they've taken this type of offensive move, right? There's always going to be someone in Palestine that's going to be not happy with what happened and want to attack Israel. I mean, you know, there's going to be some kid right now who lost his brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and uncles and aunts and everything. At some point, trauma is something that we talk about now as one of the major causes of kids, you know, being mentally challenged in terms of how they behave and how they respond to different issues. And you're going to have a whole lot of kids who are going to be traumatized, and we have no idea how they're going to respond.
Right. That's, so there it is, right? Every time something like this happens, we are radicalizing an entire generation of people. An entire generation of kids are being radicalized for one side or the other of this argument.
Mm-hmm.
So I said it in the pre-show with you, it's, we're into this an eye for an eye kind of thing. It seems like Israel wants revenge for World War II, no matter what it takes. And all they're doing is creating another Holocaust. They're creating another reason for an entire generation again, on both sides, because there's going to be Israeli kids that have been affected and are going to radicalize in their own way against. Where does it end? Can it end? I get frustrated because I know there is a power for good in the universe. I know there is a way that we can eliminate. I've seen that vision, and it feels like it is centuries away from getting this knowledge and this wisdom into the hearts and the minds of people that haven't even had a chance to develop their own thoughts, really. The kids that haven't even had a chance to explore what it means to be human and to be conscious. And because of misguided beliefs by military and political leaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, folks. Don't mean to start the weekend on a downer.
Yeah. Well, let's go to some higher heights. Here's a good one I found out that I thought was very eye-opening in terms of outdoor enthusiasts. China has just reopened the Mount Everest access via Tibet.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
And so that for outdoor enthusiasts and the like, that is great news. To think about the ability, because I think it's a safer route, you know, you get a chance to go to Tibet, right? You know, which is a great ancient story, great ancient culture, lots of history. So to be able, if you're an outdoor enthusiast, to be able to climb Everest and get some energy from that ancient culture is an interesting proposition. I'm not a mountain climber. I'd be scared to death to go up there. Just to be honest, I mean, you're talking about the ultimate challenge between altitude and weather and you know, the whole thing. It is adventure activity number one in my mind. Well, yeah, between that and sailing around the world on your own. But so that I thought that was a great thing.
Yeah, I like that story too. I'm one of those guys, I would love to stand at the top of Everest. But I'm not willing to pay $60,000 to have my ass drug up there. And where I am in my life, I don't know that I have it within me to do it, you know, to do it without having somebody just drag my ass up there. There is a little bit of fear of spending that much time in the death zone too. But hey, this is good news. This is really good news, not just for the alpinists in the world, but for that sense of oneness and connection that, all right, there's not only another route that's now available to people, but it shows a lessening, in my opinion, of the isolation China likes to put itself in at sometimes. Good news. And hey, you know, let's remember it is eclipse weekend, so let us remind you, if nobody
get your glasses,
get your glasses. Don't go trying to look at this thing without glasses, folks. It $5, $6, whatever they are, you end up like ex-president Trump if you look at it directly. So we don't want that happening. Get yourself some glasses, but get out and enjoy it. I remember the 2017 eclipse, and my family and I, we went up into Wyoming and found a farmer who was renting out their field for the night. And we got there super early in the morning, and kicked a little cash to this farmer to camp out in their field for the day and sat in a farm field with a whole bunch of people and watched it all happen. And it's an amazing experience. Somebody asked, they were going to Vermont. They said, what should we wear? I said, dress warm. It gets chilly quick. When the sun goes away like that, it got chilly. And now it comes back pretty quick too, but it's a really, really cool experience. I hope most people get a chance to get out into it. And here in Colorado, I think we get what, like 60% maybe is where we're at here in Denver area.
Yeah.
So even here, even where we are, you know, you may not be in the path of totality, but you should be able to catch a good experience of it. And we encourage you to go out and enjoy that today. So the natural world just is a wonder. So many stories I could tell about being in nature and the absolute awe-inspiring wonder of what goes on. And I think a full solar eclipse has to be the pinnacle of a pinnacle experience in that regard. So,
and they said the next one is not going to happen until, I think, 2044 or something like that, 2042.
So, somewhere in the 40s.
Yeah, like 20 years. I think it's like 20 years. So it'll be 2044. And I found out something interesting. I was watching the cast. There's a town, I think it's in Indiana. The 2017 and this one are gonna crisscross. One came from over on the northwest. They're gonna crisscross right in this one little town.
Oh wow. So there's a place where you saw the 17 and now you'll see this one.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right on. Good.
And they were interviewing this one guy. He had a little shop. He's a jewelry maker. He put this orange line down to show the path. In that interview, he said, they told him, say, oh, you know, what you going to do for the next? He said, well, if I'm still alive, I'll be here. And then they did the interview now. He said, I'm still alive. And so he's putting another orange line down to show where it's supposed to cross. Pretty cool.
Right on. Yeah, I would love to. Yeah. Sit right there in the middle where, I was here 7 years ago. I'm here again. So,
yep.
Cool. All right, folks. I think we about ran out of time here. So we're going to get out of here. We want to thank you for being a part of what we're doing here on the New Thought Media Network and tuning in today. Of course, it's a Friday. We got a full day of broadcasting. We invite you to join us for all of our programming. I'll be back at 5 with the good news. Actually, no, I won't. Reverend Barbara Jean is doing the good news today. So she'll be back at 5 with the good news. And, of course, all of our other programming as well. On behalf of everyone here on the New Thought Media Network, we want to thank you for being a part of what we're doing and wish you peace and richest blessings. Bye now.